Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of the channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Within this series, we hear about the life, the biography of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And no doubt we always begin with sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, Man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra, that he who recites salat upon me once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now previously, mashallah azzurl, we heard about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Banu Hashim, the Banu Muttalib, how they were, each and every single one of them, with one exception, with the exception of one person who was no doubt lacking of any self-respect or self-esteem or any sort of honor, with the exception of Abu Lahab, how the rest of the tribes, that is the Banu Hashim as well as the Banu Muttalib, how these individuals were subjected to exile to an extent. They were boycotted, yes, but nobody would have any sort of business dealings with them. Nobody could buy from them, nobody could sell to them. Nobody were permitted to give their children to them in marriage, whether it's their daughters giving to them or taking their daughters. Nobody would have any sort of relations with them. And so the Muslims, many of the Muslims, those from these particular tribes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his very own children, his beloved wife, Sayyidah Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha, his relatives, they were boycotted. And they remained in the valley of Abu Talib for 3 years. They remained there. So that's what we had previously. Now, how about those individuals who were not from those tribes, of course, and they were not boycotted? Now, those who did not have protection of another tribe, they went and performed hijrah towards Abyssinia. One of the individuals who sought permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to migrate to Abyssinia was the greatest of all people after the Prophet alayhi wasallatu wasalam, none other than Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He also asked permission from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. She states, I did not know my parents except as followers of the religion, and no day passed without the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming and visiting us at both ends of the day, that's morning and even evenings. And when the Muslims were afflicted, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he sought permission from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go and migrate. And then he went out to migrate to Abyssinia to join those people who had before migrated. Now when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he reached a place known as Barak al-Ghimad, Barak al-Ghimad. When he reached this place, some say this place was about 5 days of traveling, that was, which is towards Yemen, that is, because they would travel to Yemen, and then from Yemen they would get a boat to go to Abyssinia. So that was on the way to Yemen. What happened is, on the way, he met an individual by the name of Ibn al-Daghina. Now, Ibn al-Daghina was from the Qara tribe. And Ibn al-Daghina, some of the scholars say that it's not known whether or not he later accepted Islam. But on the way, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he sees Ibn al-Daghina and he says to him, you know, what are you doing here? You are just strolling here? Where is it you are going? Oh, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he replies, he says, our people, my people, they have driven me out. And I wish to just wander the earth and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, I've been driven out by my people, and you know, I just want to travel and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just worship Allah ta'ala in peace. And Ibn al-Daghina, he says that someone like you, Abu Bakr, you should not be expelled. No, you don't need to leave. You're a person who helps those in need. You maintain family ties. This is what's beautiful. Even those who would praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, you are a person. Even say the Khadijah al-Kubra radhiallahu anha, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the first revelation, and when she was reassuring him, she says, you know, you are good to the needy, you are good to the poor. You maintain family ties. So the mushrikun of Makkah al-Mukarramah who would accuse the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accuse him of breaking ties amongst the family, no. Rather, it was the opposite. Those who were honest, those who were sincere, would say to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are the one who maintains ties. And similarly, Ibn Daghina says the same about Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. He says, you maintain family ties. You bear the burdens of others. You are very, very kind and hospitable to guests. You assist in matters of truth. He says, don't worry. I will offer you my protection. And this is what they would do. Those people who were part of a tribe, they had the right to offer another person protection. And if one person, and he was the head of the Qara tribe, Ibn Daghina, and if they were to offer protection to another person, and somebody was to attack that person, then it's as if they've attacked that tribe, and out of their pride, they must go to war to protect that person. To whom they have extended their protection towards. And this is why it's very, very important. This system is like a visa system to an extent. It's quite a brilliant system, be that as it may, subhanAllah. Nevertheless, he offers protection to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says that, you know, you can stay here and you worship your Lord. You worship your Allah ta'ala. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, he returns and he begins to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within his very own home. Now when the Quraysh, they discover this, they summon, you can say, Ibn al-Daghina, and when they call him towards themselves and they ask him, well, what is it, what's happening, why is it you've given protection? He says, look, a person like Abu Bakr, he cannot be expelled. You can't force him to leave. Are you going to force a person to leave who helps the needy? He maintains family ties. He bears the burdens of others. He's very, very hospitable. Yes? Is this what you're going to do? And what they say is, okay, no problem. If you are giving him protection, you can give him protection. But tell him that if he is going to worship his Lord, then he must do it within his own home. He must pray there. Whatever he wants to recite, he can recite that. But do not bother us. Yes, and do not do it publicly. Why? Because he may influence our women and our children. Allahu Akbar. And Ibn Daghina, he then goes and he portrays this to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says to him, look, just remain in your house and you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you wish there, but do not make it public, do not go out in front of the people and do this. And he said that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, it's not known exactly how long he remained within the home, but he remained within the home for some time, just worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, that he built a masjid within, you know, in front of his house, within the courtyard of his house. So it was still within his house. So it was within the courtyard of his house, he built a masjid. And there he used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to recite Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And it said that huge numbers of women and children, that those who were the mushrikun at the time, that they would come and they would surround him and they would come towards him to come and listen to him. They were amazed and taken back by Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. And the description they give, subhanAllah, this is beautiful. The description they give of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, they say that what is it that brought so many people towards him? And one of the things mentioned is that he was a man who often wept. He wept often. He would regularly weep. He would regularly cry. And he could not control his tears, especially when he was reciting the glorious Quran. And this was due to the softness of his heart, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu. he began and he continued with this. And the leaders of the Quraysh, when they came and they discovered this, when they heard about this, and they saw the reaction of the people, how the people were reacting to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and they were worried. All of these people, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, swayed towards the religion of Islam, towards Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. So what did they do? Again they go and they summon, again they go and call Ibn Daghina. Yes, again they call Ibn Daghina. And they say to him, look, we had a deal. We said, okay, no problem, you could give protection to Abu Bakr, but he must remain within his own home. He's gone and built a masjid in his own home now. Yes, he's built a masjid, and now, you know, in his courtyard, and he's praying, and the people are flocking towards him. No, 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 you must stop him. Yes, you must stop him and tell him, give him a warning. Tell him, it's very simple. Go back to your own home, so remain within your own home, remain hidden. And if you're to do so, then you could continue to pray to your Lord, you could continue to practice as you are. But otherwise, that protection you must take from him. The protection that you've promised, that you've gave him, you must take that back from him. And yes, this is what they would and could do. They would give a person protection, they would take it back. And then so Ibn Daghina says, okay, and he goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and says, look, if you wish to keep that protection, then what you need to do is you need to remain within your own home. Otherwise, please give back to me that protection. You see, because he's given protection, he's not just going to take it. It's not exactly how it works. But he wishes to take it back from him. So he says to Abu Bakr, he says, look, then please give me back. There's a mutual respect, isn't there? Then give me back that protection. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he says that if you wish for your protection, you can take it back. Because I only need the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The protection of Allah, so I am content with that. And that's enough for me and that suffices me. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gave back that protection. And people did again try to harm him, etc. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And due to this reason, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he did not migrate towards Yemen. Although he did intend and he did initially leave to go and migrate towards Yemen. Now, after the boycott, some state not very long later, in the 10th year Hijrah. This is where the scholars differ, but approximately the 9th, the 10th year Hijrah is very, very famous. What happens is one of the greatest protectors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst the Quraysh, that is, from amongst the people, from amongst his family, he passes away. Who is this? This is none other than Abu Talib, uncle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Abu Talib, before he passes away, there's a hadith if is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari that it stated anna Abu Talib lamma hadarathu al-wafat dakhala alayhi an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa 'indahu Abu Jahl. He says that when Abu Talib was close to passing away, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered into the room, he came to Abu Talib, and also, who else was there? Abu Jahl was present too. Faqal, and he said, O my uncle, qul, say, la ilaha illallah, testify, there is no God but Allah. Kalimatan uhaju laka biha indallah. Such a phrase with which I will seek your, it literally means, I will contest or even to defend your case. I will intercede for you in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُحَاجُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ أَبُو جَهَلْ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ إِبْنْ أَبِي أُمَيَّ. So Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, what they say is, Ya Abu Talib, they say, Oh Abu Talib, تَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ فَلَمْ يَزَالَ يُكَلِّمَانِهِ حَتَّى قَالَ آخِرَ شَيْءٍ كَلَّمَهُمْ بِهِ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. They say that, are you going to turn away from the millah, from the religion of your grandfather, from the religion of your forefathers, from the religion of your father? Abdul Muttalib, and they continue to pester him like such, and continue to say these words until Abu Talib, then what does he say? Ala millati Abdul Muttalib. He says, I am on the religion of Abdul Muttalib. Now we must pause here, and there's something very, very important. Yes, we believe Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu was a Muslim. So yes, we consider him to be a Muslim, a mu'min, a believer, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. Now Abu Talib has said, I am on the millah, on the religion of Abdul Muttalib. So in reality, the scholars have stated that because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not invited him towards Islam, because he had not received the first revelation at the time. So many class Abdul Muttalib as what? A muwahid. As one of those individuals from the fatrah. Yes, those who were from the time where no revelation or no prophet had invited people towards Islam. And so he was, the condition at that time was for them to believe in one God. This was the condition for those people, to believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdul Muttalib, he passed away in this state as a muwahid. And this suffice for Abdul Muttalib. But this would not suffice for Abu Talib. Why? Because Abu Talib was at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had instructed him to testify. But he did not do so. And so he cannot be classed as a muwahid too, although he claimed to be on the religion of Abdul Muttalib. And so sadly, Abu Talib, he continues as such, and this is how he passed away. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ says, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَى عَنْهُ. I shall continue to ask for your forgiveness until I am prohibited from doing so. Until I've been prohibited. فَنَزَلَتْ, and then the verse of the Quran was later revealed. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. The verse of the Quran was revealed. مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ, it's not for the messenger, it's not for the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who believe, أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ, that they seek the forgiveness of the mushrikun, of those who are polytheists, those people who disbelieved. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَىٰ, and even if they are from the close relatives of theirs, even if they are their very own relatives. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ, after which it has become apparent, yes, that they are from Ashabul Jahim, that they are from the people of the fire of hell. Allahu Akbar. And similarly, another verse of the Quran was revealed, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Do not be saddened. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not convert whoever you wish. It's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people do convert. My dear viewers, what was the aftermath of Abu Talib? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about this. It said that an Abdullah ibn al-Harith qal sami'tu al-Abbas, that he heard Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu ask. He says that Abu Talib, he would defend you, he would help you. Did this benefit him at all, meaning in the Akhirah? Did this benefit him? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Na'am, wajadtuhu fi ghamaratin min an-nar fa akhrajtuhu ila dahdah, that I saw him in the bottom parts, you can say, in the lowest parts of the fire of hell, and I brought him out up until he was in the shallow parts. In another narration in Sahih Muslim, it states, في ضحضاح من النار يبلغ كعبيه يغلي منه دماغه. I brought him, I extracted him to such an extent that only his feet remain within the fire, but due to the intensity of the heat, it has made his brains boil. Allahu Akbar. So this is the intensity of the fire of hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every single one of us from the fire of hell. And there are just only a few minutes remaining, that is. Inshallah, later we shall hear more in the next episode. But a few lessons to take. And in fact, I would like to leave you with one lesson mentioned by Imam Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala about names. This is beautiful. Imam Suyuti mentioned, look, the name of Abu Talib was Abd Manaf. There were another two uncles of the Prophet who also remained alive. One was Abbas and one was Hamza. And Imam Suyuti, rahimahullah ta'ala, he states that the name a person is given has an effect on their characteristics, on their mannerism, on their outcome, on their sincerity, on their entire life. And he gives this example that Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu, they had good names, and this possibly had an effect on bringing them towards a beautiful religion of Islam. Now, that's one lesson we could take from this. Another is also bad company. What was it that proved as a hurdle for Abu Talib to come into Islam? One, of course, you could say it's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but as well as that, he surrounded himself with people and he took the advice of people who a deterrent for himself accepting Islam. And remember, in order for a person to attain salvation in the Akhirah, Islam or Iman is a must. The precondition for Jannah is Iman, the one and only thing. The most important thing to a person is a person's Iman. My dear viewers on the channel, that's all for today. There's so much more to be said, no doubt about it. But these are some of the lessons we could have taken from what we have heard today. Sadly, Abu Talib did not become a Muslim. But remember, keep good names. Also surround yourself with good people. And inshallah, this shall help you. That's all for today. Today's episode of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But please do try to regularly watch this program if you can. Watch all of the episodes and join us for the next episode to learn more about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I've said anything wrong, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me. And dear viewers, continue to watch Madani channel regularly. That's all for today. Inshallah, see you more next time. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.